division affiliation has been disavowed. You are now marked as rogue.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Rogue Agents, a Division 2 podcast brought to you by Media Junkie. I'm your host, Jamar, aka Thundercats06, and I'm joined today by my exceptional co-host, Wes, aka Demented Wes. What's up, man?
What's up?
Woo! Woo! I could just feel it coming off of him.
wait, what? Oh. What do you feel coming off of me?
Whoa. We're not in person, because last episode we did have our first in-person twosome, and this week we're following that up with a threesome. Not in person, though. Over the internet. So it's safe.
Can we not call it that?
Too late. It's already on record. Joining us is the host of the Given Minute podcast and a fellow agent, Jason, a.k.a. Deadman24. What's up, dude?
What's going on, man? I'm feeling good. I got more energy than Wes today. My Brownies got a big win, and I took my traditional shot of apple cider moonshine. I'm ready to go. Let's have some fun.
I'm glad you followed that up with moonshine, because I was like, that is a very weak shot of apple cider. Wow. Well, if this is your first time listening to the show, we get together bi-weekly to discuss the state of the game and share our thoughts on Division 2. Each and every Monday, except for it is every other Monday, you can find this show on your podcast platform of choice. Just make sure you give us a 5-star rating if you're using Apple Podcasts, because that app's pretty cool. And we have an amazing Discord channel where we like to discuss things outside of just the division, but we talk about that too. I'm going to put a link in the show notes, because we'd love for you guys to join there. It's a cool way to give us feedback as well, you know? Am I good?
Yeah.
Okay. I might have actually been talking a little bit louder too. Sorry, guys. All right. So we have a very, very full episode. So for the first time ever, I am going to skip the hype check, and I'm also going to skip the agent clock. Typically in the hype check, we just say, hey, this is a temperature of where we're at for the game. We give it like a 5-star rating or something like that, just depending on how we're feeling. But I'm going to skip that. I'm also going to skip the agent clock, because we need to get into the state of the game. We had two state of the games over the past 2 weeks since we've been gone, and they were jam-packed. You want to know what I mean by jam-packed? It's a lot.
What do you mean by jam-packed?
It's a lot. That's it. All right. Didn't have anything cool for that. Just wanted to let you guys know. So first, the state of the game we had was on September 18th. And that seemed to cover mostly PvP activities. They actually had two developers from Red Storm, which is like the secondary squad that's helping out with a lot of the PvP content. So it's kind of cool getting a different perspective and not having like a traditional, you know, massive dev on there. And this was actually the first episode, to my knowledge, since we've been doing the podcast, that we didn't have Hamish on. So if you guys really care, he was gone, but we had Chris Gainsley, who was like a community developer. So that was that. And right off the bat, guys, I don't know if you guys have been like checking out any like Division 2 news. I mean, it's been kind of going crazy right now. The community has been on fire. Do you want to know why the community has been on fire?
Because Call of Duty is coming out next month.
No, I bet you, because they're nerfing a good gun.
Yes, they did. They nerfed the Eagle Bear. And to start, it was actually kind of interesting, because they always do like their priority reports now, like on the new layout, which you missed out last week, Jason, but we were talking, or not last week, but last episode, about how they have a cool new graphics package and a new setup for the show. But priority alerts is just like starting to show off like, hey, these are things that people probably really care about. And then you're probably going to leave after that, unless you really want to know some details of nerdy shit. And this is where they talked about the Eagle Bear. So the Eagle Bear got a buff or a nerf on the PTS that was released. And everyone's like, holy shit, I cannot believe you just nerfed the damage on this gun that I worked so hard to get. And in a vacuum, it was kind of like a little bit, what's the word I want to use when you feel uncomfortable watching something? Man, I cannot put my words together. But yeah,
like cringy. Yes, or like
that is the term I'm looking for. Okay, it was cringy because they had to straight up address it. And actually, I initially thought, well, okay, they're gonna change this gun, but their official statement, as what I say, or I'm kind of paraphrasing it, is that they didn't really want that gun to be extremely powerful as they expected everyone else, or they didn't expect it to be as powerful compared to all the other ARs. So, like, obviously, that was the only one that everybody wanted to use. So they were actually looking into a way to make the talents more powerful and decreasing the overall damage, which is something we'll probably talk about later in the podcast when they go into a little bit more detail about all the weapons. So that was the way they started off the episode. So I'm like, oh, shit, this is juicy. But so then from
everybody off right from the beginning.
Yeah, everyone was pissed off when they started the PTS and they realized their damage was buffed or nerfed. Damn it, I got to keep that straight. But as we'll go through like this episode here, there is a lot of changes that they made to the game for balancing reasons. And I feel like it may not be as big of a deal as everyone's making it. So if you really, really miss your Eagle Bear for like the damage, and I just said it's not a big deal. If you hate me, I'm sorry. Let me know in the Discord. So this episode, like I said, was fully focused on PvP and the Dark Zone. So who loves PvP? I'm assuming both of you guys.
Cricket.
I don't mind the Dark Zone stuff, but some of the other, I don't know. The other people do get annoying sometimes. I won't lie about that.
Well, it's going to get better. So okay. I think like one of our biggest issues with like the Dark Zone, and I'm pretty sure, tell me if I'm wrong, Wes, but you've echoed this a lot. It doesn't feel like there's a reason to go into the Dark Zone. Like you don't really get anything from it. So that was one of their main focus. They had two main focus: Dark Zone incentives and full servers. So the first thing they went into is full servers. You're kind of like, what does that mean? Well, I know we've been in the Dark Zone and haven't really had many people in there. We'll run into like one squad and then it's just us two in there the whole time. Well, they just basically came out and said, we're not adding more people to the Dark Zone. I meant to look this up, but I think on the Division 1, there was more than 12 players in the Dark Zone at once. And I think everyone's like calling for more, like, you know, have it like lively and bustly. But they said that the Dark Zone is optimized for specifically 12 players and they don't want to have like more than that. Dark Zone in Division 2. But
I'm okay with that because I hate running into other players in the Dark Zone. I
kind of was like of the mind, like I would love to have more people in there only because it sucks when you run into like someone who's like completely overpowering and you don't really have any other option. Whereas like the whole server can go against more people, you know? That's my thinking at least.
If they want to do that, they'd have to combine all three Dark Zones together.
Right. And I get it. I totally understand it. And this kind of like made sense, but they basically said, hey, we want to have it for 12 people. The reason why you feel so lonely is because typically the servers are never full. So they're implementing like new ways to actually get these servers to be full. So starting with a seamless transfer. So if you join a server with a squad, or actually this is more actually for solo, but if you join solo and you're just running around and you just don't find anyone over a period of time, it's actually going to just move you to a new server. So you might get like a little loading screen, but other than that, it's just going to, you know, switch you over to a new server, which I don't think is a big deal. But when they mentioned the loading screen, I thought people might be a little annoyed with that. Does that seem to bother you at all?
Yeah, not really. I don't see it being a big issue.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine it breaks the experience because you're sitting there in a server by yourself anyway. So, you know, if it loads, cool, whatever.
My only issue with it would be if you end up spawning somewhere else after the loading screen.
Yeah.
Like if it just loads you where you're standing, that's fine. But if you're on your way to something and then all of a sudden it loads you at a checkpoint that's completely opposite of where you were going, that would probably irritate the shit out of me.
Yeah, I get you there. I guess I would assume it would be, assuming is always bad, but the fact that they like specified like seamless means that we wouldn't really notice it unless, you know, outside of like the loading screen. So I would hope that it would put you at the same spot, because that would suck. The only thing that concerns me, and they did say like exploring the DZ, or so like if you're just exploring and you're not involved in combat is what I'm assuming, because that would suck too. Like if you're doing something and it's like, hey, you're by yourself, let me just pop you in with more people, and you just get sucked out of like combat, that would really suck. And I don't think that will be the case though. Another thing though is, more specifically for groups, they will be, well, I say we if we're going to be in there as a group, but groups will actually be matched with active servers more often than not. And everybody in the group will get like a notification letting you know, like, hey, we're waiting for a group, like a more active server. So like, I wonder how well this will work. But like, say we go in with a full squad and we're like, hey, let's just go in. We don't instantly get placed into the dark zone. It's not as quick as it normally is. You just walk through the door, loads, boom, and you're in. You may actually get a screen of like everyone like readying up, sort of like you were joining like a death match or something like that. And that kind of seems weird. It seems like it breaks the experience a little bit, but at the same time, if it's going to be a more active server, it's kind of worth it, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's cool. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, full servers sound cool. It's something that isn't really sexy to talk about, because I'd like to just see it, how it works. And also can't be mad at them for trying to make it more crowded. So they're also mentioned too that like they're going to work with this a little while, see if they can actually commit to getting like full servers. And then after that, they may look into like increasing like the player count. But let's see how it goes. That's not going to draw you guys into the dark zone, is it?
This part of it probably won't, but maybe some other stuff that we're going to talk about might.
All right. Well, one of the other things to me, and this is goes along the list of like things that were disappointing in the dark zone. One of them specifically was the supply drops. So the supply drops are actually getting a pretty cool upgrade, and this actually seemed pretty cool to me. So to start off, I guess to clarify for anyone who's listening at this point now who doesn't know what a supply drop is, but when you're in the dark zone, you get a little notification, you see the supply drop coming, you run over there, and you can fight, you know, NPCs or, you know, other agents to get that supply drop. But typically when you open a supply drop, you get like specialization ammo or like something, you know, something really kind of just corny. It didn't seem like worth it to risk, you know, stick your neck out just for something like that. So they're actually going to drop now an inactive landmark. So places that people aren't currently fighting at or trying to take over a landmark, but they're going to drop there. And the reason being is that they will have multiple bosses or like different factions fighting over them as well. So instead of just one like faction, like, you know, instead of having just like Black Tusk, for example, just standing there like guarding it and you're going up against them, it'll actually be a fight between the two factions. And then you can show up, and then there's going to be multiple bosses. And then on top of that, you'd have agents as well in there. And then the drops are also going to have like high-end loot inside their high-end gear. Does that sound like appeasing at all?
I'm upgrade? Down to check that out. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the idea of like saying like, hey, this is actually too easy. So like, let's give it like add more difficulty to it, but also give you more stuff. There's still going to be like the normal like drops that come here and there with just like the specialization, but they're going to have these cool like drops on top of that, which I think is really neat.
As long as we can reserve the right to go through all of that and then get nothing out of it and then call them out for it, I'm completely fine with it.
Well, another thing too, and I know Wes, you kind of hate the contaminated loot idea, but the loot or the drop is going to be a contaminated drop. So you will get to kind of see what you get, but you got to extract it first to see if it's good. And
oh, jeez.
I don't know how. But along with that, in the Occupied Dark Zone, they're going to have a specific, like very special supply drop. And I did very special in air quotes, but that one is going to be protected by only Black Tusk bosses. So I used the Black Tusk as an example earlier. I was wrong. But in the Occupied Dark Zone, which is supposed to be like Dark Zone slash hard mode, you're going to have a specific Black Tusk boss, and it's going to be multiple bosses that you're going to fight, which is cool. I just like the idea of that because it gives you, it adds, it becomes PvPvE And that's what I would like more from this game that I feel like in the dark zone is missing. Because when you get in there, if you are up against another squad, you guys are just fighting each other back and forth. But I would like to have like NPCs be a little bit more aggressive as well. So kind of like even it out, you know. Plus you can be a bitch and just like roll up on somebody who's getting their shit pushed and, you know.
And honestly, too, like if it makes it worth it, really, if they're that hard, you might end up seeing more people working together to achieve these goals as opposed to trying to screw each other over or do what you just said and roll up and try and fuck somebody up. So yeah. I could see maybe more people kind of coming together and working together, especially if it's more challenging and it may be having a more positive effect on the gaming experience.
That is true as well. That's very true. And that would be something I would hope would spawn. Because I felt like that was a thing in the first division. And, I mean, we may have just had, like, some bad runs. But I remember, like, going in and just running into people randomly and just being like, hey, we're all cool. Let's clear these landmarks together. It wasn't always, you know, that dick. But when it was a dick, we would all, like, the whole server would team up against these, like, rogue agents. Now it just seems like everybody's rogue and, you know, die. That's it. So
let's go rogue.
Yeah, let's go rogue. So another update to the Occupied Dark Zone, and this is actually a really fucking cool idea. It's sad that it's kind of restricted on just the Occupied Dark Zone, but I guess it kind of makes sense because, you know, Dark Zone slash hard mode. You will have a very small chance when extracting. There might be a Black Tusk-like helicopter that will ambush the extraction zone. So you pop up your flare, you got your helicopter coming. That actually signals the Black Tusk. Hey, what the fuck is going on over here? And then they come through, and now you got to fight bosses and try to extract your shit at the same time. So it gives you that same idea of like, all right, if somebody's here to try and attack you to take your loot from extracting, now do you guys like work together? Do you run? Do both of you guys run? Like what happens? So it gives you like a cool, just random scenario. The only downside to that to me is that it's happening, going to be too less of a chance to happen because they basically just said, look, it's may only happen once per evening or maybe even once per week, depending on how often you play. So that seems really cool, but also kind of a bummer at the same time.
I kind of feel like how often we play, we may never see this.
Right. That's the thing that worries me. But I kind of would love to have that experience of like you just running up against another hurdle when you're trying to, extract. And that seems cool. But yeah, that was something I was really excited about. Hope you guys like that.
Yeah, it seems cool. Is there kind of a significance for that though? Where if they do attack you, like, can you get something good out of it? Like, if you have to go through that?
Nope.
No, it's just a random thing that could happen, and there's really no reward for it if it does.
No reward. Just know that this is a possibility. I did like it. It adds in the layer of randomness to the Dark Zone outside of just the agents, which is pretty cool. Pretty cool. Damn it. I wasn't going to say pretty cool, but I did. Pretty cool. Up next was something that is specific to people who love going rogue. So the Thief's Den, I think we may have experienced this a couple times, but you know, like the little shade tech hack things you can do on the wall and like the division, those terminals. So when you hack all of those or a certain amount, it opens the Thief's Den and you can pop in there and see what's going on. Well, typically it was possibly more loot or I guess it was a vendor.
At first though, it was just a big empty room and there were a couple lockers that you could get some ammo out of and like things. There was really nothing great with it.
Right. That's right. So, well, now they're adding a vendor to it. So this will be another Dark Zone vendor and you wouldn't be using like your regular cash or credits or whatever you want to say. It is specifically like resources that you pick up in the Dark Zone. So gives you a reason to explore the Dark Zone 1 because you're picking up these resources, you're killing enemies, but also like opening boxes and whatnot, and you're finding more resources that you can use at this vendor. But on top of that, it's going to have high tier loot inside that as well. So it gives you a reason to try and get to the Thieves' Den, which again, increases like interaction between like players, and you know that's cool, but it also gives you a reason to go around the entire like Dark Zone because you can find more resources, which kind of cool, like a really neat incentive again. And I think they're really trying, like, in small ways, instead of like radically changing the game, to add things like that. But the just more like details on like the vendor itself, there'll be a vendor that's going to rotate between the both of the normal dark zones, so normal dark zones, you know, whatever. And you'll be able to see before you go in, like on the new mega map, which I don't know if you've been following up with that, but there's going to be a new mega map that'll show you like where weapons are going to be and gear and all that good jazz. But now it'll show you too, like where this new vendor is located. So it seems pretty cool. It lets you know, like, God damn it, I said it again. It seems cool though. It lets you know like where the vendor is going to be and if it's worth it. So that's just another way of getting like high tier loot, which seems to kind of work in my mind. But also like the dark zone vendors that are on the outside of the dark zones, they're just the regular vendors, they're gonna take now the resources. So no more just running to them with like your cash and buying stuff. You have to use your dark zone resources, which to me was like a cool thing that they added, and then another thing that they just kind of took away, which makes me a little, you know, sad.
I mean, that's kind of cool though too, because I feel like at this point I should have a pretty good amount of dark zone credits, because I don't think I've ever used them on anything.
Well, see, this is the thing that I was slightly confused by, because they kept referring it to dark zone resources. So I don't know if that's specifically the credits, or if there is a new resource type, like, you know, being out now in the world and like finding things. So we'll have to see or clarify. So if you know the exact answer, you can always let us in, you know, let us know on Twitter or on our Discord channel if you join that. Sounds cool. Just again, hammering away at some of the incentives. Those were like really the main things that were like incentives to the dark zone. So is any of that, I asked earlier, is any of that like a reason to get in? I know, like, Wes, you're kind of like not really keen on the dark zone. Does that like give you some interest, like on a level 1 to 5? Like, does it get you hype or what?
To be honest with you, no. Like, you know, contaminated loot's still there. Hey, you have like a 5% chance of seeing these Black Tusk helicopters coming in as you're extracting. Like, I don't really see the draw of going in there.
So even with the upgraded supply drops, the Thieves' Den,
it's going to be hard to tell. I mean, it's all hypothetical, right? Really, the upgraded Thieves' Den, don't really care about that one. The supply drops, I'm more interested in that, but it's all hypothetical until I get in there and see what kind of loot I get. If it's worthwhile, then yeah, it kind of gets me excited, but more than likely, it's going to be shit that I'm just going to sell or delete.
Well, later on, and we'll have some more information about like the gear and stuff of what they're doing specifically on like another like PSA that they gave, which is something that needed to be addressed, which I think is cool. But what about you, Jason? Are you kind of like in the same boat? Like,
Not necessarily. I unlike Wes, I don't mind the contaminated gear. I think it adds an extra challenge to it. Going in the dark zone sometimes can be fun. I like doing it better as a group, or in the few times where we've actually teamed up with other groups to kind of go through it, just to not necessarily to troll other people, but just to go through the different checkpoints and get what we can. And because sometimes you do get some good stuff out of it, but you have to be in there for a long enough period of time and hit these checkpoints a couple of times, or the landmarks, I should say, a couple of times, in order to do it. So when you have a bigger group, it makes it a little bit easier to just kind of keep running through it. So I do like that that's going to be upgraded, but I've heard that before, and it's been in other state of the games before, and it really hasn't necessarily. So I guess it is just like Wes said, I'll believe it more when I see it. I do like the idea with the Thieves' Den, because if you're going to have that, if you're going to have those boxes throughout the dark zone and have to go through them, and you go rogue when you hack them as well. So you're going rogue. You have to hit a certain amount of them in a certain period of time just to get in there. I feel like there should be more in there than just a couple of lockers. So if they have some exclusive loot in there and some different incentives for actually going through the steps to get in there, I think it would be worth it. So I'm good with that.
I mean, I guess it is a good idea that they have just more of a wait and see approach, especially when it comes to Dark Zone, just because we have been, you know, haven't had like the greatest experience with it. Maybe like other people have. But another thing that I think that is going to this one here, I don't know if it's going to push me away from the Dark Zone, because all these changes were cool. They gave us like an incentive to go in there, right? It depends on like which side of coin you are, you feel about normalization. But now going forward in PvP with Title Update 6, normalization is going to be completely gone once you hit endgame. So just to clarify, normalization is like if you aren't quite, like say your gear score is like 5 or 480, it's going to give you some multipliers to increase your ability, but also kind of like level out other people. So you're kind of going into like PvP like as an equal, right? So no matter how crazy your build is, of course, there's been like hacks and stuff like that, but they try and just normalize it to make it almost even and fair. That is now gone unless you are under level or unless you're like haven't hit like in game, which means like gear score like 490 and above. So to me, that kind of worries me just because we're not like the scientific build specialists. And I don't know if all of these changes to the Dark Zone are even going to be worth it, because if we don't take the time to make a handcrafted specific build, we're probably going to get fucked up. So like, what do you think about that?
I think whether it's normalization or not, we're going to get fucked up. Some people figure out ways to just completely dominate and it that ugh, whatever.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Wes there. I don't think it's going to matter that much. And honestly, like, and I've toyed around with building all these different types of builds, and it honestly for me, unless your build is specific towards the type of weapon you like using, it doesn't really make that much of a difference.
We'll talk a little bit more. I keep foreshadowing, but that's going to be like the second part of this episode. That's going to have
coming up next. All right.
That I'm doing my Fox News thing. Will your build survive in the new non-normalization PvP? We'll let you know at 11 o'clock. But yeah, so that's pretty cool. I guess for people, you do get rewarded for having like taking the time to craft this build. So you do get to keep all your bonuses, all that good stuff, which is fine. That just kind of worries me. But you know what? We may have been in the Dark Zone and been weaker than we thought we were. Or weaker than what we actually were based on our build because of the normalization. So that could actually help us, you know? So it's not always going to be necessarily bad, but that's one of those things that we just have to see. So we'll find out. Stay tuned to later episodes and let you know how we feel about that.
Let's try it in practice and see what happens.
Right. So after that, they talked about the normalization, which was I would say it's kind of like a bombshell, because I think a lot of people wanted that. And
what does the community say about that? They're excited?
I haven't really picked up anything. Like, I haven't really seen anyone like complaining about it. So I don't know if it's something that people just kind of were like, okay, we'll see. But yeah, just like looking through Reddit, I haven't really seen anyone saying like, oh my God, I can't believe you're doing this. This is going to ruin the game. Or thank you, God, for adding this. I think in practice, it's so many changes that are happening that really only people who are testing it out now in the PTS are kind of getting this experience. And some of these things haven't even been implemented to the PTS yet. So we'll see. We'll find out afterwards.
More on this later.
Right. No, this is like later. So the last thing that they talked about on the state of the game from the 18th was conflict. And I was kind of like, all right, I can just kind of not pay attention to this, because realistically, conflict hasn't really been our cup of tea, just like Dark Zone. So
skip.
With this, I'm just going to quickly summarize, because there is something that they did like add into this that I could kind of see. Like,
are you like an ad? Can I skip you in 5 seconds?
Yes. If you care nothing about conflict, go ahead and skip in probably like two, maybe a minute. So, so the one thing that they're changing, I'm summarizing what they said, but they want to make things rewarding. They want to give you a reason to do it, and they don't want it to be like soul crushing. So now everybody gets a participation trophy. So if you complete a match, that is the reward now. So completing a new match will give you a reward, and that's going to be for whether you win or lose. Which to me kind of does help a little bit of people like dropping out. So if you're getting wrecked, it's not just you standing there by yourself. So that's, kind of cool, I guess. But it also, again, gives you more of a reason to play it. Another thing that they did is they're adding like a weekly conflict project. And they're also going to have like a daily one that will switch between like Dark Zone and conflict as well. So they're giving you more things to do. So instead of just going in there and your main goal is to win a match, it may be do damage with a assault rifle or do damage with SMG. So you're getting a little bit sort of like a Fortnite situation. And the reason why I said it is even though you don't win in Fortnite, like every match, you have like that battle pass where you're doing small little objectives, you know, just to kind of get a small victory out of it, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah,
I would say. And then the other thing is they are adding like a whole bunch of new like audio and visual things to it. So just overall just making it look a lot nicer. And then this one, they acted as if it was a big deal, which I don't know because I don't play conflict, but you can now switch between loadouts in between your matches. So if you go in with a specific set, you don't have to keep it through every single match, which I could imagine is something to cheer for if you are a heavy conflict player, right? Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then this was the thing that they're really, really, really excited to talk about. They are adding a new mode to conflict. So instead of just deathmatch and like whole point or whatever the hell it's called, they are adding a round-based team elimination. So elimination. Yeah, deathmatch. Yeah. So it's like an elimination deathmatch mode. It's best of 7 rounds. You die, you're gone for the round. You know, everybody knows what elimination is. But the cool thing for this game and the way they described it, and I know it probably won't be this way, but it will create a more tactical vibe because your group now has to stay together because you only have, it's still 4v4. So if you drop one person, if one person runs off, gets murked, well, now it's 3 against 4. So staying together, making sure everybody's kind of like using their specific skills to help each other, that could be cool. Will I play it? I don't know. How about you guys?
Nope.
I would try it once.
Yeah, I think I would like kind of try it. And the reason why is because I thought I was going to absolutely hate the 2v2 mode added in like this upcoming Call of Duty. But it did make the game a little bit more of a slower pace because it was more risk. Like you couldn't just run out and do whatever. Now, did that happen every round? No, because there was some times where you just have people just bum rush you and whatnot. But it does give you a more like unnerving vibe, which seems interesting. But I don't know if that is enough to make me jump in there. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that did wrap up pretty much everything else. You know, they do like their little agent highlights and whatnot. I wish I could just submit like maybe the podcast. Maybe they can shout us out on agent highlights. I don't know how that works, but we'll see. But then they also do like the agent photos and all that good stuff. So that was the end of September 18th, state of the game. I just want to get a real quick pulse. Did it do anything for you? I think I know the answer. Wes.
Nope.
Jason,
not so much.
All right, cool. Well, we can stretch a little bit. We had state of the game 25. I would say this one was quite the same, but I actually enjoyed a lot from this episode, so I'm really excited for this one. So I hope you guys enjoy it as well. We had Hamish back and Frederick, which he's been on the show before. He's like overall just like about gear and acquisition and stuff like that. So they were on, and first thing I saw come across my screen, because I really wasn't paying attention to a lot, because I was actually listening to this on the way to work or watching this on the way to work. Don't watch things in your car. It's dangerous, but I do it. So I saw Apparel Event number 4, the Explorers. And you know, I always get hyped when it comes out to an apparel event, right? Just because the stuff that you have in the game, sure, it's cool, but I like more stuff. So this one here, they went straight into like giving you some more military-esque like skins for your characters. And I don't know how you guys are going to feel about it. So there's a little bit of everything. There's some stuff in there that I think, well, I question first if Wes would be interested, because you know you love the mask. Can you scroll down to the bottom of the dock? Can you see the mask that they have?
And yeah, for the listeners.
One is like a weird World War, what was that? World War II type mask? No, that's, yeah, well, we'll say World War II. Anyways, it's like a really creepy looking gas mask, like really old style. And then the other one looks kind of like Splinter Cell slash like Alien. I don't know how to really describe it.
It looks like an aviator helmet made steampunkish.
Ooh, that's a good way. Actually, you know what? You get kudos, man, because they did mention steampunk. And I was like, what? But now that makes sense.
There we go. You can just call me Hamish.
So you have some really cool masks. It's just two. The event actually starts on the 24th. So if you're listening to this, you are like 5 days behind. And it ends on October 8th. So it is kind of a little bit of a short one. But I'm going to try and play and grind out for one specific thing. But let's follow it up. Mask, are they cool? Are they not? What do you think?
I'm into them.
Look pretty neat.
Yeah, I don't really get down with them too much, but they're not bad.
I feel it.
I would try to earn them just to have them, just in case I want to use it with a build. But it's not something I would probably rock all the time. But
all right, well, something that may rock all the time. I don't know. This is a bad joke. Weapon skins. So they also showed off five new weapon skins. And the weapon skins really don't do much for me.
I like that green one.
Yeah, I'm all about the purple, and like nothing really in there kind of screams me. There is one that looks kind of zebra-ish, but like if you zoom in, it's not like a zebra like print. So I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know if that does anything for you guys, but not.
Yeah, so I like that. I like the green one. That's the only one I like, though.
I mean, I like the one I use now, and I won't change it.
The cheetah the cheetah print one's a little.
That's spicy. I like it.
A little spicy. A little saucy. Yeah.
Well, we had the weapon skins, and then they started to proceed to pop up four new character skins. And I mean, I'm going to say first, I'm just going to name them. We had the paratrooper, we had the trapper, aviator, and the motherfucking space explorer. So I sent the message straight to the group when I saw this. I was like, oh shit, I'm so happy. But let's just go like down the line before I get too excited. So the first one, the paratrooper? That looks like what? Your normal army dude helmet, looked like Vietnam War or something like that, right? Am I far off?
Normal.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Like Vietnam, yeah. The trapper, which reminds me, is it Johnny Appleseed?
David Crockett.
David Crockett, that's what it is. Yeah, he got a little hat on his head, you know, one of those things that keep your head warm.
Little coon skin hat.
I hate that one. That's the worst one.
I would agree. Kind of looks a little doofy. I don't know why. I don't know this guy personally, but he looks silly. the third of the three, or of the four, was the aviator, which when he said aviator, I was like, oh, shit, that's kind of cool. You know, like Top Gun kind of shit, you know, coming out number two. It's Amelia Earhart. I don't know how I feel about it. Like,
what's the deal with
you want
massive doing all these costumes or all these outfits from like the fucking 20s and 30s?
So you want a Goose and Maverick, and you got Amelia Earhart?
Okay. I'll take that. It's like last season was like, oh, here's some goofy Bahama shorts, and now it's like here's some goofy ass aviator outfits.
I think so. The sentiments in the Reddit, at least from the community, is what I say, because I keep a pause on the community. Is everyone's like so annoyed with like, why are you guys like putting out these goofy ass outfits? We want like military type shit, you know? And they were like, hey, we have military stuff from the 30s. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Right. But what we did get out of the four, and I don't care what you guys say, we have Space Explorer with the classic like orange spacesuit. The only thing that's missing is the actual helmet, which that's my only critique, but it's pretty dope though. Like it's just, think of like your astronaut from like, obviously, like when did we go to the moon? I'm not great with history. Around John F. Kennedy, right? So I don't know.
The 60s.
Yeah, it was the 60s.
Yeah. Did we go to the moon? Did we not? I don't know. That's another podcast. But anyways, they definitely have the suits on there that look like that. And I am fucking in, man. I can't wait to get this.
That's for sure.
I want this outfit just specifically so I can run like the space and or the Air and Space Museum mission
wearing that outfit.
Yes. That's literally my dream. So that is the reason why I'm right now. for this apparel event.
How sad are you going to be, though, if you do this apparel event and you don't get that outfit?
Dude, I'm going to be extremely sad, but not for the reason you think. Exactly. I'm going to be sad because I'm going to buy like credits just to get, you know, all of the chests. So they're going to get money from me for sure. And I can say that because Kristen doesn't listen to this podcast. All right, so
just my some only more problem with that outfit is it's really baggy. I mean space outfits are baggy, so like it makes sense, but it just looks weird.
Dude, I love it. And the only thing that I wish, I know you like baggy, because to be honest, I do rock generally like the skinny jeans. Like I want like the fitted jeans on my character. But the reason why, in my mind, I'm going to make the sound of the swooshing of the material rubbing against it when they're running. So I'm really pumped for that, if you can tell.
It'd only be cool if you could do like a moon bounce and just like glide across the air.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, depending on how well the game runs, we might have some weird glitches like that, right?
Yeah. It'd be more like a slide than a glide, though.
Right. But like as always, they're gonna end the event on the 8th. So that just means you can no longer like earn like the weapon caches, or not weapon caches, but the event caches. But if you have them, you have like until like the 15th or something crazy like that to use them all, and then it's, you know, completely gone. So get in there while you can. I know I'm giving you this update 5 days late, but hey, hit the ground running. Next, actually, I should preface this. If you didn't listen to, if you watched the show, I'm going to do this stuff out of order because I just kind of wanted to group things together. And they talked a lot about quality of life stuff. And I just want to go through these
fast.
Exactly. I can't even say it one time. So the thing that to me, and this is where it kind of got me excited for the game again, because I feel like when TU6 comes out, going to get that update. We're going to turn the game on and it's going to feel like a completely new like Division. And we've played so much into this game already that it would be really refreshing to see so many things change. And like so many of these changes, they can't even really explain or say because there's just so many of them in general. So I'm really, really excited for a lot of these quality of life things. For a lot of newcomers or new listeners to this show, you may have picked up like Division, or maybe your friend bought you Division so you could play with them and you sold it. So I don't know where that came from. But for people that are new to the game, they're actually like going to adjust like the first chapter because they said it was like off pacing wise to like the start of the game. They're also going to add like, or adjust the tutorials, I should say, to make it easier to learn like how things work. And then because they're doing that, they're adding a whole new section or a new area like in menus or in options that you can revisit like all the tutorials. So if there's something that you missed and you're like, wait, I don't even understand what this is, you can go back and look at it. So again, this to me, the thing that they were trying to push through was make the game easier to understand. Like, sure, people know how to play it, but we want to make it like very clear. And I think that was some of the things that we were listening when we did our feedback episodes, Wes. Of like, just tell us what we can and can't do. Tell us where stuff is at.
Absolutely.
And they really are doing that. And that's why I'm so excited for it. Another thing that's really cool with skills specifically, because we use skills, right? They're going to give you a more detail on the skill and let you know whether it's good to use it in a group or is it good for solo. So like if you have like the healing skill, which God, anyways. It'll let you know, like, hey, this is going to work solo better. You can use it if you're in a group, but hey, this is some maybe a direction to go. So it kind of encourages you to learn how to build or make a build without, you know, scouring hours on the internet, which is, I think, a good thing. Anything to get new players back in, because the game definitely is taking a dip, is a great thing, right? I imagine you guys would agree on that.
No, I like it. Yeah, it does make it easier because, you know, for me, I don't have a ton of time to spend on learning all that stuff. So having it kind of more painted out for me, like, hey, this is good to use here. This is good to use here. That'll help me a little bit in actually getting a build that I like for certain situations.
Yes. And their main goal is getting you a build that you like and making it to where it's not all about meta of saying like, you have to have this talent, you have to have this, these skills, and you have to have this weapon. They're trying to make it to where everything can be used. So you can have fun and play the game you want to, which is what I like. And speaking of things that I like, let's talk about the inventory. So I am a I'm a hoarder, okay? And I already explained on the last episode why I was so excited, because we are getting a new an increased storage for, we're getting 300 items now in our like safe box. I can't even use the correct words. I'm sorry. But the number one thing that I have issue with is when we're running missions, right?
Yeah.
And you pick up all this gear and then you have to go through and see like, wait, is this new? No, I had this. Is this new? I don't know. Wait, what the fuck is this? I don't know. Okay. There's going to be a new gear tab in your inventory, which is so awesome. It seems like something that is so small, but really, really awesome to have. And then on top of that with the inventory, you know, this is really cool too, is there's going to be a filter now specifically so you can set like stats or a filter for specific stats. So if you want to see, oh, I want guns that do this amount of damage. Well, it'll filter all of your inventory to show you guns that do this. Or I want a gun that has this talent on it. I'm assuming this is what it'll work. And you'll be able to do it that way. That will make looking through your gear so much better. And it also give you a better way of like interacting with that to see what's trash and what's not. That seems really cool. That seems really cool.
Yeah. It's good for someone like you.
Yeah, I'm a hoarder, man, okay? And they're helping me with this. They're going to sit down and do some counseling. Another thing that they're adding, which is also cool too, because a lot of times I hold, like, you pick up a piece of gear, and you're like, ooh, I'm going to recalibrate this shit so hard. I can't wait. But then you just have a list of shit that you're like, wait a minute. I lost the thing that I wanted to recalibrate. Is this it? Well, guess what? Now you can flag for mark for recalibration. So not just necessarily mark for junk, but mark for recalibration, mark for sale. So other items that you want to just get rid of and you know you're not going to use, you can mark those for sale. So you don't have to constantly keep going in and marking junk, which is amazing. That's so cool, man.
Yeah,
that's
really cool. That is cool. That's a small little thing, but it could go a long way.
It's that quality of life, bro. This one here is actually a pretty big one. So the way they announced it was like, yeah, okay, didn't seem cool. But then I thought about it. I was like, oh, shit, this is really cool. So specializations now will save with your specific loadout. And then this is the biggest kicker. You can switch your specialization without going to the fucking base of operations.
Oh, all right. Oh,
okay. All right.
That's dope. That's so dope. That was actually something that, like, I mean, I feel like people give Apple shit about this, where they like create a new product or a service or something that has like oddly weird constraints. And you're like, why does this work this way? Why does it do this? And then when they fix that issue, you're like, oh my God, they're geniuses. I feel like this is the case right here of being like, you have to watch this animation every single time you change your specialization. And then now they don't. You're like, oh my God, they're so great. It's awesome. It's so cool. I'm so excited. another thing that was not mildly interesting because, well, fuck it. Actually, this was kind of not cool for me. I don't know about you guys. I know for a fact this is not going to be a blow up Wes's skirt, but they're going to have 12 loadout slots now for different builds. I only have two builds right now, so this really doesn't affect me at all. So, yeah.
Who has 12? You have to keep that shit in your inventory.
Oh, well, guess what? Now it'll switch out of your inventory from your stash box, which is so awesome. Yeah.
All right. Then I'll actually probably start using them.
That's cool. It's really cool.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah, that was the part of it that really annoyed me is I had to have it all in my loadout. I couldn't have it or have it all like in my pack. I couldn't have it in my stash box.
Which, I mean, this explains to me too why they didn't increase the initial like your own body like inventory, because they're giving you ways to kind of like alleviate that, which is really nice. That's actually really, really nice. Another thing that I think I'm moving on for inventory now. So that was all like the wrap up from inventory. There was something that I thought was actually pretty interesting that they just kind of mentioned. And I was like, huh? But that seems cool. And it has to do with like movement and how you play the game, like how the game feels. So they have went into like design and how to change the way the game plays and how you do all of these things to interact with gear and find gear. But they also change how the game feels. So as far as running, it's going to be like quicker, like, or snappier, I guess is the term they use, to like start and stop. So when you run, you don't have like that buildup of inertia, like to kind of get into a full sprint. And then vaulting like over things, like doing the cool little jumps, that's going to be faster now. So they like made that more fluid. And then also after you do a vault, you can instantly go into like a combat role now. So giving you more like fluidity and flexibility, like as you're playing. And then another cool thing is if you're in cover on, say, like one of those little guardrails with like the wood panel on it, if you want to switch from cover to the other side, they'll now be able to like vault over and it'll snap to cover on the other side. So you can flip between like cover.
That's good. That's something that you were kind of sorely missing. So I'm glad that they've added that.
That's so cool. Like I never expected like to get like things that are actually like how the game feels. I didn't expect to get like updates on that. So that's neat. And that goes back to why I said, I feel like this game is going to feel new. Like it's going to feel like a new game, which is good. You know, that's needed.
It's what it needs. Yeah.
For sure. When you put like hundreds of hours into a game, you kind of don't want to keep playing the same game. So making this new and fresh is really cool. So let's talk about gear, right? What would you say is probably one of your number one things you hate about picking up gear, specifically gear score?
It's related. Always fucking purple.
Which means it has a low gear score, you think, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is like their PSA moment, right? Gear quality. In stat roll specifically. Everyone's like, why is it that I can pick up? And this is your complaint, Wes, is like, why is the gear shitty?
Yeah.
Most people are upset because the gear is not only like shitty, but also you can get higher stat rolls on gear that has a lower gear score. And people are like, how does that make sense? Like I pick up this chest piece that's level or gear score 500 and it has like 2% weapon damage. And then I can pick up this one that's like 490 and it has like 30%, you know,
that's why I've always been like a 485. Cause there's no sense in being 500 when everything I have is better than everything that drops that's 500.
And that was actually by design, believe it or not. And I'll explain it. They're not just like cruel people, but so with gear and like have like your stat rolls on your gear, there's this thing that they call the budget system. So basically you just have a pie. You only can have that pie. You can't have two pies. You can't have three pies. So if you pick a gear piece that has one stat on it, well, it's only one thing in that one slice of that pie. So it's going to be higher, right? It has chances to be higher. Well, if you pick up something that has three stats on it, well, then you have to split that pie up into three pieces. So one thing might be high and the other two might be lower. So what that all means is that what they all said is, hey, this is complicated, confusing. But basically what I'm trying to tell you is gear score 500 isn't like the goal. Like you don't have to be at gear score 500. 490 is in game. So quit stressing about gear. That's the thing. So like if you want gear that is like US, if you want to keep like if your gear score is 485, that's not a bad thing. You're not like behind. So yeah, like
right.
Don't
I've been playing keep... the game right the entire time. Fuck everybody else, right?
Right. It's not a constant search for that higher gear score. Because it's not gonna always necessarily give you the better loot or the better stats. And I was like, wow, okay, I guess that does make a lot of sense. But at the same time, stop dropping the purple shits. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Definitely stop dropping the purple shit.
That's just something I figured I thought was interesting that I should bring up because it is like a public service announcement. And that seems cool. So just say like, hey, it's okay. You know, just let it go. You know, let it be. The next thing is about talents. So this one's kind of quick and easy. But this actually, I think, is a pretty major change in the game, like legitimately a major change. So all talents now, well, I guess I should preface it this way. They basically went in and they were like, look, we need to figure out what talents people hate and what talents people love. And we're going to try and balance those out, right? So underperforming talents, they got buffed, so they're better. The overperforming talents, well, they got nerfed. So everything's kind of more closer to the middle, right? And this thing here is the part that I think is a big, 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 big change. Talent stacking is gone. Do you know what that means, right? Right?
Yeah.
All right, good. Because I didn't understand it either when they said talent stacking until I started doing the notes. And I was like, oh, shit, that's what they mean. Okay. So when we were getting ready for the raid, what was the main talent that we were looking to get on our weapons?
Damage to elite,
right? Okay. And we had it on every piece of gear. That no longer is a thing. So hard hitting was the talent, I guess. for damage to elites, and you got 10%. So if you got it on every piece of gear, you can have like an extra 50%, and then you can have it on your mask, and then you got an extra 40%, you have 130%, all this great stuff, right? That's gone. So they're going to increase they're going to buff the damage to elites for hard hitting. I think the example they gave was like 20%. Well, now if you put hard hitting on another gear, on another piece of gear, it doesn't matter. You're still only getting 20%. That's the max that you can get. Now, if it's a stat roll, like on a mask or something, that will boost you up as well. But the reason they're doing this is so everyone's gear isn't the same. So everyone's not building specifically for damage to elites or weapon damage or explosive damage and all these things here to have these like highly specialized builds.
Yeah, because we exploited the fuck out of it.
Right. And it also makes the game like less fun. Like you don't want to do like, oh man, this talent looks cool, but I can't use it because I need damage to the elites. Or, oh man, I really like patience on my knee pads, but I need damage to the elites. Or I need this. Like it opens up the game so much more that like that to me, I'm excited to like fuck around with.
So you can almost put like a different talent on every piece of gear that you have in a way.
Exactly. That is exactly what it's supposed to be. So now you don't have a very like overperforming or over like, wait, what was the word you use? Oh, exploit. No longer do you need to exploit the game to get like a high talent, but you can have multiple talents now that will give you an overall better build. Do you like that?
Are
you
thinking, I do.
Am I like crazy on that?
No, I mean, I like that a lot because now I'm not going to shoehorn my way into, I need this piece of gear because I need this, even though I don't like this gear. Like I picked up something that maybe increases assault rifle, but I need that damage to elites. I dig that because now I can have more freedom for my gear.
I'm glad you said freedom. Cause initially when I was going to read this, I was going to sing freedom. Because that's really what it is. It's no longer like stranglehold on like you need to have your gear like this and that's it. If not, you suck.
And I it'll also alleviate having to stress about having different builds for different talents. So like having just a damage to elite build or having just a like weapon damage build for ARs and stuff like that. Like you can kind of switch it up a little bit and just have one build that has multiple talents instead of multiple builds with one talent on them.
Right. That's it. So awesome. So awesome. And then if you add that to like all the other changes, as far as like, hey, I want this specific gear. Okay. I'm going to go to this area of the map because now it shows me and, oh, I need to look for this. Is this any good? Oh, sweet. The game is letting me know this is something that you might want to look into. Those things are going to make Division so much more easier for people picking it up for the first time, but also for people like us who, again, we don't have the time to play it constantly to see like what different builds and what's the new meta of like, is this weapon going to work? We can just play the game like we want to, but we can also like get stuff. I'm really excited for that. I really am excited for that. So I hope that was exciting because that was one of the things I was like hyped to tell you guys. So I hope it paid off. All right. So with that, there's a couple other things that we want to talk about, and it is weapons. So weapons changed in every class, except for one. So I'll let you know what that is. But starting off first, there is a new shotgun. It's the KSG shotgun, Jason. So I'm sure you're excited for this. It's a 12-shot pump action.
Ooh, 12 shotgun. Shots? 12 shots? Ooh.
12 shots.
That is basically exciting.
I didn't put the picture in the notes, but it looks like a shotgun, like a sort of like a double barrel shotgun in a sense, but it also has like two barrels at the bottom, which is, I guess, is where the slugs are loaded in there. So that's how you can get 12 shots out of that shotgun.
Nice.
Seems pretty cool.
Yeah.
Seems pretty cool. Wait until I talk about shotguns. So we'll see. It's actually not a bad thing for shotguns. So let's talk about the changes for the weapons.
Yeah, let's let's go ahead and skip right to MK17.
I can do that for you. You want to go to that was yours is a rifle, right? MK, that's your jam. Yes, okay, so I'm setting the scene. You're out in the field. You're shooting people. You're popping them in the head, and you got that high damage. Actually, Wes, tell me what's your damage on your was it 17? You
have bro, I'm be popping that pussy. It's like 54,000. Is it, right. Wait, isn't that from Paul Rudd? Doesn't he say that in a movie?
Oh, that is. I had to go away from the mic for a second. I apologize for my laugh. I just realized that I'm like, oh, God. And then I heard.
Yeah, it's in Wanderlust, right?
Yeah. That's probably not like a super popular movie, but
if you haven't seen it, you should. It's so funny.
It's good. Side note. Well, you know, whatever. Anyways, so you do like 54K damage, right? Well, that's funny because this is exactly what they said. The damage on or damage per shot for rifles typically are really high, right? And the problem that they had though is that it really didn't perform great towards elites unless you had like, you know, damage to elites and all that shit. So it was like, boom, it gives you a hard shot, but it was not like the greatest thing for elites, right? So what they're going to do is give those weapons actually a buff. And that's kind of, I'm like surprised that like they're going to make these weapons stronger in some way. Now that doesn't necessarily mean like pure output damage or raw damage is what the term they normally use. But it could be in the sense of like making the talons better against elites and things like that. So that could be interesting for you. However, I do have a little bit of a bad news. There is a few of the guns getting a nerf. So you're just going to have like nerf roulette when you log in. We'll see if it's your gun or not. Because they didn't say specifically any details on which weapons for the AR or for the rifles that were going to get a nerf. So good luck, man. Good luck. That's all I can say.
Oh, no.
For that, I guess we might as well go into ARs because that's my jam. And the ARs kind of got a little bit of a little bit of a nerf. So as we talked about earlier in the show, the Eagle Bearer definitely got nerfed. And the second best AR in the game, the custom P416, that also got nerfed as well. So they basically adjusted like the damage between 5-8%. And that's kind of sad, but that also means the other ARs are going to get a buff as well. So they could possibly get like 5-8% more damage. And then another cool thing is the FAMAS, the FAMAS. I felt like I was saying fabulous. Ooh, high school Jamar almost went crazy. the FAMAS actually now has an extended clip mag. So, or extended mag. That felt like that was redundant. Anyways. You can actually have more than what just the gun comes with, which is pretty cool. But for people who may not really use it, the FAMAS has like a pretty decently fast rate of fire, which is kind of cool. But it also had a very, very, very small magazine. And now you can actually get an extended mag for that. So that's pretty exciting, I think. But I'm going to probably shed a tear when I get on and my P416 is slightly weaker. But, you know, the cool thing about this is what was the gun that the new AR that we picked up when we did the zoo mission? I don't know if you remember, because I can't remember. Wes, remember the AR? The new one? I don't know. It was cool. It looked cool. It shoots and sounds really cool, but I couldn't use it because it didn't have like the greatest damage. But now knowing that that may get a buff and be a little bit stronger, it kind of excites me. And again, this is just allowing us to use stuff that we want to use. I'm not so happy about that. Even though I'm going to be crying. So next, I'll just go third on the list. We have SMGs. Those across the board were just not really competitive because the raw damage were always typically so low. Like even I think the highest damage I had on an SMG was probably about like 19,000. And that was like, no, Jesus. Yeah, it's somewhere around. It was in the teens. But the problem was it had a very small clip. And then but that was like, you know, like really the biggest issue, but they had some pretty cool talents on it. So now those are getting a buff just across the board for raw damage. So they're gonna try to make those guns much more stronger, which is exciting. Shotguns no longer have the melee perk. So if you ever notice like on the shotguns, it says like 101% damage for melees or whatnot, that's gone. So what they're actually doing now is making damage against armor a perk now on shotguns. And the idea behind that is going to make it more suitable for end game because all of the NPCs are going to have like they have like armor, so gonna make shotguns more, you know,
so it should make that trophy a little easier to get when you have to take all the armor, like
I have, you know, I got that trophy and I about cried because there's two armor enemies that come out and I spent like about a half an hour on one guy And then I was like, sweet, I got it. And then another guy came out and I was like, fuck, that's the name guy that I'm supposed to be doing this on. So yeah, that will make that part a lot easier. So yeah, that's cool. The marksman rifles, those are buffed as well. I guess the M70 was like the most powerful one. So that is going to be used as now like a baseline. So all the other ones are going to be a little bit more powerful as well, like on that same level of the M70. So shout out to people who use marksman rifles.
I like you, Jason. Yeah, I like using marksman rifle.
So yeah, that should be like cool. Like if you're not using M70 specifically, you're going to get a buff and damage. So that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's exciting.
Another weapon that I'm kind of using, which is sort of like another meta weapon, is the LMG. Now my LMG is like, I think like up to like 36,000 or 37,000 like damage.
Please tell me they nerf these, because that's all people use in the dark zone. Yes.
That is exactly what's happening. And it's not all of the LMGs, because it's only one specific. The M6 is the most like overpowered LMG. So that one's getting nerfed. And then they showed a cool graph of like how it was looking before TU6. And it was like all over the place as far as like there was like lines, like a bunch of space between them. So there's a big gap between like the weakest LMG and then the M6. So now the line is they basically met in the middle. So those are going to be more powerful while making that one a little less powerful. So that should help for sure, because people with like 60, I mean, it is kind of cheating. Like I have like 62 or like, no, not even like 62 now because of the new specialization. I had like somewhere around like 180 rounds and is doing like 37% or 37,000 damage.
Yeah, and if you have two of those with that whole,
just switching
that, yeah, yeah. So that loads your ammo, like you can just basically have almost unlimited ammo.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a cheese, but that was like really probably the only way that I ever really partaked in, and that was kind of by accident. So all right, it's cool, I ain't gonna be mad, but if I can use some other cool LMGs, then that's kind of exciting too, so I'm not mad. The only thing that didn't get love was pistols, and I feel like they wanted to say because no one fucking uses pistols.
Like how we play the game too,
right? But they're just like, well, pistols are like kind of fine where they're at right now,
unless we challenge ourselves to do a mission. Like if we're doing it on easy, just to do it all pistols, that's the only time we ever use them.
right. So yeah, that was just funny. But anyways, I do want to get your like kind of like a pulse on that again. Like, are you guys excited for some of these changes? Is that like one of those freedom moments where you're like, sweet, I can use other weapons now? Or are you like, fuck, sucks?
I'm excited. I want to see if my gun gets stronger.
Yeah, I'm excited too, just because some of the guns that I use are going to change up a little bit. And I kind of want to, now that we can rework the builds, I kind of want to, I guess, start doing builds for specific weapons. So if I feel like using a specific weapon, I can change my build based off of that. So I think with the new way that you can do all that, will really work towards that. So I'm kind of excited for that. And I also like with the LMG, because we got that, what was that exotic LMG that we kept getting in the dark?
Oh, zone? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I meant to bring that up. The Pestilence.
Is that a good segue into the next topic?
Well, that is.
All right.
Real quick before we go, and I'm also excited to hear that they're buffing the guns that people use to kind of be bitches, because hashtag don't be a bitch.
Don't be a bitch.
That's like from like the first episode I was on, hashtag don't be a bitch.
It has never gone anywhere because we keep it fresh and original, much like Division 2. Oh, that was a burn. All right, so the last two things that we have is going to be based on exotics, and this is, you know, kind of quick, but so their goal with the exotics initially was to make the weapons, just an exotic weapon, like really, really good, right? It's like a covenant thing. Like, cool, this weapon is something different than all the other guns, right? Well, I think they kind of got lost, and we kind of did as well, as thinking like, hey, this is all about just, I want the most powerful gun, right? Like, I want this gun to do the most damage because it's exotic. And that's actually not the case. That's not their intentions for it. They want to make the gun very strong because it has really strong talents on it. And this is why I mentioned earlier about the Eagle Bearer, because the Eagle Bearer is going to get a nerf on like damage. It's going to be a weaker damage overall. But if you lean towards the talents and you play towards the talents on that gun, then it's going to actually be more powerful than any other like AR. So I love the idea of that now. So not just expecting exotic gear, exotic weapons to be like the most powerful or the strongest in the game, but it's going to have talents that will, if you build correctly or if you play to its strengths, then it's going to be great. So now you can't just run around with like this gun because it's just stronger. And I don't know if you guys like agree with that, but like I kind of feel like that is a better way of going at it, because if this gun is just superior than every other gun, then everyone's just going to use that one. But now right. It's like you have to have the play style to go along with that gun to get it to be great.
Jamar, do you have the Eagle Bear?
Why do you have to bring up things, man? No, I do not have the Eagle Bear. I don't. So that's why I'm like, cool, it's buffed out or nerfed. I don't care.
Oh, man, I have like six of them.
If you don't want me to bring up things and don't invite me to be on the show. No. Was there a bad story behind it that I missed? Like, to have some issues trying to find it or something? Or you just...
It's not necessarily a bad story. It's not as bad as like the Black Tusk gloves that are seem to be like... fantastical at this point. I don't believe they ever really exist, so fuck them. But it's just that it's raid exclusive, and you know, we still haven't had like really great success with the raid just because of like our play rate. Like we don't get on as often. So I think that's the biggest issue, is it's only in the raid. So nah, I don't have one. But Wes has six of them and he's not sharing, so I don't understand what the fuck is going on.
Oh, sorry, asterisk. 16 of them. I'm sorry.
Oh shit, dude. Like his stash box is literally just all Eagle Bears, all 100 slots.
Yeah, and then sometimes I deconstruct one, depending on my mood, and sometimes I deconstruct two or three. So I had like 30 at one point.
Jesus. But yeah, I agree. Like I totally agree with the devs. Like I'm all in for this, just because it's not a race to just have the best gun. But if you're gonna have like something like the Pestilence, has a cool idea. Like it has cool talents. I think that's an interesting way to like play the game differently, but the gun sucked on damage, so no one wanted to use it. So that's cool.
Yeah, I like that idea. Yeah.
Speaking of that, though, all the other exotics are gonna have a bit of a damage nerf. The only one that's not is the Pestilence, because it was already nerfed from the beginning. Yeah. So
the Pestilence is already shit, so it's just gonna, they're just gonna leave it alone.
Right. So in the beginning of the show, you scrolled down and you saw some pictures and you saw those knee pads and you're like, dude, I got to have those.
I do.
Let me tell you how you can get them. These knee pads are going to be a new exotic. This is the third exotic piece that's going to be added, or an exotic piece of gear that's gonna be added to the game. Those are Dessa Sawyer's knee pads, which I think she was at the theater district or whatever the hell it is, but anyways, it's kind of a funny story. But basically something happens to her legs, so she doesn't need them anymore. But the cool thing about these knee pads is, one, they do look pretty sexy as fuck. They remind me of like something in God of War, which is pretty cool. But also, when you go from cover to cover while wearing these knee pads, it's gonna let off an EMP blast. So like if you're in the back and you're like, all right, I got this dog, and you run up, and not just like dog like Randy, but like actual, you know, war dog in the game, Black Tusk, get it? Okay. Yeah. Anyways, you run up to the nearest cover towards that, and you have to go cover to cover, so you have to use like the cover to cover system. But it let off an EMP and put that thing to sleep, and then we can just like drain it, like shoot it. But that'll also work against other like tech, you know, enemies. So basically great against the Black Tusk. Seems cool. The further you run, like from cover to cover, the bigger the blast will be. So I feel like that's just something like neat. I don't know if I would use it all the time, but because you can just add it to like a specific build, like, hey, we're going against Black Tusk, I'm switching to these. That's cool, right?
Would that work on the was it the Lucy and the
probably not. That would be my guess. Yeah. It probably won't, but maybe it will. I don't know.
I don't know. All right.
Lucy and Buddy. That was
Lucy and Buddy, yeah. Buddy. That's right. Yeah, fuck it. I still have never beat that. But anyway, that's for another time.
Weird story. When I was a kid, my mom had birds, and we had a bird named Buddy and Missy, not Lucy. Weird, right?
Way to tie that in. Jason. All right.
Hey, Jason. How does it feel to still know you don't have a platinum in Division 1?
That's a very sore subject, Wes. Thank you.
You're welcome, buddy. Dude, I'll help you. We're getting a division to platinum for sure, man. Because there's no platinum or there's no trophy tied to the raid.
Wait, you guys don't have it yet?
No, because the last ones I need are like all dark. I need somebody to cheese them for me.
I have three of those.
Yeah, so. I'm not helping you with that shit until you get me. Hey, look,
we'll just do it this way. I don't want to say it because it sounds weird. But I'll do you first and you do me after.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if you guys want, I'll give you one of my platinums. I got like three of them.
First ever triple platinum on one game.
Yep.
Demented West.
Hey, add me. I'm history. Massive, give me free shit.
I think Sony should be also involved as well because I don't know how you cheated the system.
Sony gives me free shit already.
Which is in the end why we do this, right? We want free stuff. Exactly. And even if that just means people saying, hey, that was cool.
Why does anyone do anything ever? Like, they're not being nice. They're not trying to help that old lady across the street. They're trying to get a dollar. They're trying to get something.
Something. Even I just want people to think that I'm cool, which currently I have to pay for that. So if I can get that free because I have a podcast, that's cool.
I'll pay someone to call me all the time and be like, dude, you're cool.
I currently do. All right. So with that being said, that was like pretty much a really, really in-depth. Actually, it wasn't really that in-depth. It was just a lot of information about TU6 and like gear and all the weapon changes and whatnot. So like I did at the last point, I just curious, it does that excite you? Because after the PvP stuff, you're kind of just like, eh. But like the changes that they're making to the game, are you kind of like, okay, this feels like something that I can get ready for, you know? Wes, you go first.
Yeah. All right. I was actually waiting for Jason because last time I spoke over him. But yeah, I'll go. Yeah, so some of this stuff excites me. Like, I'm really excited to feel how different, like, the mechanics of the game flow. And hear about the stat rolls and the different gear tweaks. I'm excited about all that. I'm still excited about the last podcast we did when we talked about the map and how it shows you where you can get specific gear sets and where you get specific guns. And that still excites me to no end. But seeing all these little tweaks that they're doing for not only the gear, but the guns, and it kind of sounds like it's going to be a new game, and I'm excited for it. The only thing I don't know is when is it dropping?
Ooh, that's a good question. Actually, they still haven't given an exact date, but it's like, I think the second week of October, which
went into that, I thought you knew the date.
No, it's not a specific date. I just remember them saying like around like the second week because I was like, sweet, that gave us enough time to like really like, we still need to finish some things in Borderlands 3, which we haven't mentioned in this episode yet, but we still have some things to finish in Borderlands 3. So that would like definitely get that, you know, out the back of my mind of thinking like, fuck, we need to do this. So I'm kind of excited, you know, give me some time.
Cheer.
Yeah. Right, I'm excited because it'll be fun to play. And really, I like a lot of stuff they're doing because I feel like it's going to make it a lot easier and it's going to make it to where you can use more weapons and use more of the gear. And I'm kind of excited the fact that I don't have to feel like I have to be at 500 because I guess I've been kind of pigeonholed to that. I wasn't like Wes. I didn't have that foresight to know that I didn't have to be there. And yeah, I'm pumped. I want to start playing it again. Like, I've been picking it up here and there now, just kind of going around doing some of the stuff for the apparel event and just trying. Now I think what I'm going to do is start building my gear sets towards specific weapons. So once that becomes a thing, I'll already have stuff set up and in place. So I'm ready for it. Let's do it.
I want to let it be known that when everybody starts dropping their gear score from 500 to, you know, 490, I've been doing that the entire time. And I'm just, yeah, it's so cool.
Hipster agent over here.
That's right.
I've been rocking a 485 gear score since before it was cool.
Yeah, totally.
I feel like we're gonna have to start our own clan though, because I'm pretty sure I got dropped from whatever clan we were in before. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't turned it on in a long time.
We're dropped.
I should probably open Facebook and drop out of the group then, huh?
Yeah.
Which I guess is kind of fair. But yeah, we're dropped.
we are men and without a country right now.
Oh boy, that reminds me of another podcast that you, if you haven't been listening to like other properties from Media Junkie, we have a show called Fanboy Fight Club, which is an awesome podcast that we do where we get together and we just either debate topics and or we create cool ideas, right, Wes? I would say.
Sorry, I was leaving this group.
Oh. With the Fanboy Fight Club podcast, we actually have a fun time. We create new ideas. So, for example, last episode, we turned movies into video games, and we had to present them and debate and tell us why it's great. And that was a really fun episode. We do have someone on the show today, actually, who is happens to be the bitch of the week. Thought you were going to escape that, Jason, but you're not. So, this show is pretty awesome. It comes out every other Tuesday, with a new episode being on the following Tuesday.
Wait a minute. Did you have me on this show specifically
to call you the bitch of the week?
Bitch of the week on Fanboy Fight Club.
That is not the case. But it's just so convenient.
I know it was.
So convenient.
Pipe down, bitch of the week. All right.
But yes, if you'd like to know more what we're talking about here specifically with the show, definitely give it a listen. We do a classic episode. 1 week, and then the following week we have a new episode, so that would be every Tuesday. Basically, if you listen to this show, just think of the new episode will be every other week that we're not on. So if you don't have a podcast from Rogue Agents, check for Fanboy Fight Club. You'll get a new one, and then also listen to those classics. It's pretty fun, and it's also weird to go back and hear old shit. But also, if fanboys fighting isn't your thing, but you like grown men fighting, we have a podcast from our fellow agent Jason, which I'm gonna pass it off to you. You can go ahead and do your thing for Gimmick Minute.
So I also host the Gimmick Minute wrestling podcast. Fellow Media Junkie member Michael, who's also on Fanboy Fight Club, is a part of that as well, and then my buddy Kevin, who's been a lifelong wrestling fan as well as me. And really, we've kind of switched the format up a few times here. Mostly we like to talk about kind of like what's currently going on in wrestling, but at the same time we kind of go with a little nostalgia as well and talk about stuff that we like from the past. And recently we've kind of gotten into doing some like different like fantasy booking, and we're actually going to be doing like a fantasy draft, because in the WWE they're going to be drafting wrestlers between two different shows, and we're going to talk about that and give our opinions on who we think's going to go to which show. So it should be fun. It's going to be a good time. That's going to be on Thursday when that drops. So if you want to listen to that draft ahead of when SmackDown debuts on Fox and get our take on it first, that's a good time to tune in and check out the Gimmick Minute Wrestling Podcast.
Cool shit, man. And that's what we do at Media Junkie. We release cool shit. So if you, excuse me, I lost my voice for a second. Talking about those half-naked men got me hot. If you like cool shit and you want to interact with us, definitely hit us up and join our Discord, because that's where we talk cool shit. And you can come in and make Mike feel uncomfortable, which is always fun. Also, you can find us on Twitter at Media Junkie Vids with an S. That is also a really cool way to kind of keep up on some of the cool news that Wes likes to retweet, movie-related stuff. And also, you'll know when our podcasts are going live. Or not live, but there.
Maybe a day late.
Yeah, and maybe a day late. Who knows? Because this is how we roll. Also, at Media Junkie Vids, you can go to twitch.tv /Media Junkie Vids as well. We can do some streaming there. Typically, we haven't been really popular. Not popular, I shouldn't say that. We haven't been like streaming as much just because we have really, really weird schedules. So maybe we'll be on there. Maybe we're not. If you subscribe, you'll know. And then lastly, youtube.com/Media Junkie, no S, is where we post some cool videos. We have a lot of stuff up there that has been doing some really good numbers over the past year or so. Even just, I mentioned this before, but Wes like boils a NES. Am I right?
That is right. Correct.
Yeah, he puts an entire NES in his pot of water and boils it to make it play better, and it runs at 4K now. So you need to watch that video and check it out, because it's pretty crazy. And the last thing I have to say is go ahead and rate and share this podcast. We just like to have fun. We told you we're doing it for free shit, but we really just do it because we love these games and we love talking to each other. And that is pretty much all I have to say. So we're gonna end this show like, you know, I tried to make a rhyme. I need to quit. All right, let's end this show the way we do every single episode. with a lovely hashtag that is so popular. I'm getting sued now. It is hashtag
Let's Go Rogue.